Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
What if procrastination isn't a discipline problem, but a pattern in your brain you can actually rewire? How exciting is that? I'm excited to introduce you to Tammy Magnuson. Her company is Neuro Reset, and she's going to tell you more about that. And I'm excited to learn more about that. So welcome to the show, Tammy. It's lovely to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here and really happy to connect with you ladies.
Tammy, I'm so excited about this conversation too, because I love the idea that we can rewire our brains. So it's not about discipline. It is about something going on that we can actually change. So I'd love to hear your journey into this whole niche and this whole industry. How did you end up helping people rewire their brains?
I became a eutaptics practitioner in 2018 and got my level 4 certification in 2019. And the reason was I was going through a custody battle. So I had 3 older children and they had been raised by me. At my oldest, I think I was 6 when I got divorced. And then they had lived with me. I was a homeschool mom and we just did everything together pretty much. They went to their dad's every other weekend sometimes, but he realized that he wanted it to be very stable for them. They got to have the basic life that we had before we got divorced. And in 2011, he got married. And so I was already remarried with another child. And in the court case, of course, I was waking up in the middle of the night. I had stacks of papers that I was like, tell the judge this and don't forget that. And the kid said this and I did this and that. And so it was just so stressful. It was worse than my divorce, worse than any experience that I've had up until then, because it was so out of control. And at that point, I had tried everything I knew, praying, reading the Bible, going to church, asking for help, seeking out friends. I had tried medicine for a little bit, didn't like that. And I was just scrolling on YouTube. And luckily, I ran into this guy who said, everything in your brain is you, and made me pause. And I'm like, I don't believe that. Prove it. You know, so I kept listening a little bit. And he's like, if it's not happening right now, it's in the past or it's in the future, then it's only in your mind and your imagination. And therefore you can do something about it. And that's, I was like, powerful. What?
Yeah. What?
How? How can I do something about it? So he talked about this technique and he actually said something that really stuck with me. He said, whatever you think about them, you think about yourself. And I was like, I don't think I believe that, but let's try it. So I was thinking, he's a jerk. I'm like, I'm a jerk. And I'm like, well, I am kind of being a jerk right now. Like, it's not my personality or anything. Yeah. But right now I'm kind of being a jerk to him. So I'm like, all right. So I do the technique and that felt better. And then I'm like, I hate him. Like, I had never said hate out loud about anybody because I was taught you don't say that, right? You just feel it and you think it, but you never say it. Well, the truth was I did. So I said it out loud and then I'm like, I hate myself. And I was like, yeah, I can kind of notice that if I do that hate feeling, I hate myself. So then I did the technique and let it go. And then I'm like, he's a cheater. And I'm like, ha, there's no way you're going to ever say that about yourself. But I said, I'm a cheater. And I sat with it. And my brain said, you're cheating yourself out of peace. And by then I had enough little bit of peace that I kind of liked it. And that's a key thing. We don't really like peace, not because it's safe for us or healthy or good. We don't like it because it's not a pattern that we practice. So I thought, that's true. I am cheating myself out of peace. So I let it go. And I did this for about 2 straight hours. And everything changed. I was like, what is going on with my body? It's like my brain could finally relax and my body followed. So I had a court hearing date and I was dropping my kids off at my friend's and we're talking and laughing. And she's like, Tammy, you're going to be late for court. And that's when I realized things had changed. Like, I wasn't stressed out getting my packs of papers and everything. And Also, when I actually talked to the judge, I was raised in a very authoritarian parent household with parents. And so when I was in court, I often just shut down. It was just an instant freeze. I couldn't talk to the judge. I couldn't think of what to say. Everything was shut down. And this is all normal brain activity. So for the person that's really struggling with anxiety and depression, I want you to know your brain is working the way it's meant to. It's just that you don't know how to relax the brain so that you can control it. You can control the things that your body seems out of control about, right? The shaking, the nervousness, the sweating, the can't think, the fast breathing, just all those stresses. So I went to court and actually things turned out pretty lovely and my kids are fine, even though my brain wanted to go to all the, oh, they're never going to live a happy life. They're going to be, you know, tainted forever and all the things that we say when we're going through stress. And I think in part it was because I was able to relax my own brain. So it happens that in 2017, so how many years later, 8 years, well, I shared this with some of my friends and they were like, that's weird. And I'm like, oh, it is. I thought it was logical. I was like, so excited that it was logical. And they're like, that doesn't sound, you know, good or this or whatever. And I'm like, how can it not be good if it's good for me?
If it works. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't make sense. How can that be good? But I was kind of quiet about it. But then in 2017, I had an old knee injury come up. I had just bought a pony party business. So I was out taking ponies to little kids and hauling and driving and cleaning. And my knee started swelling up so huge. And I was on crutches. I had surgery in 1988 and 1989. I had my ACL reconstructed. And when I went to the doctor for it, he said, there's no ACL, there's no meniscus, there's no cartilage, you're bone on bone, there's nothing we can do. I sent my MRI out to 3 different doctors. I'm like, what other options do I have? And they're like, none. Because I have these big screws in my bone, so they don't have enough bone. There's like nothing they can do. So I'm like, I wonder if that stuff could work on this. I'm like, probably not. Like, this is like real. And so I hired a practitioner and she's like, well, if it can feel different when we're just talking about it, would you think that there's some emotional component? And I said, well, yeah, that's logical. If it could change by thinking about it, then there's some validity there. So she starts asking questions and then I'm like, the pain went to a 3 and then it went back to an 8 and then it kind of stayed at an 8. And then if I thought about getting up, it went to a 10. And so she gave me some tools for what to do every time before I stood up, before I imagined this bad thing could happen. And we also dealt with the memory. I talked about memory reconsolidation because the subconscious is just holding everything we see here, feel, taste, health, cells, touch, smell, and all of our self-talk, right? Everything that's been said to us. And so the memory of that tragedy when my injury had first happened was playing in the back of my mind, but I didn't realize it. And none of us do until we become aware, oh, there's this part that's helping us breathe and blink and run all the fluids in our body and beat our hearts. And we tie our shoes, eat, talk, walk. All of this is managed because of memories. And so that makes sense to me. So we did the memory reconsolidation on my knee and it started improving. But more than that, it opened up a little corner of my brain to other options. And I know we talk about manifestation and magnetization, but things just started showing up for me. Friends reached out and told me about the MELT method. I learned about pain-free by the Egoscue method. I learned about DMSO. I learned about cabbage. Cabbage helps bring inflammation out. I was like, okay, I'm trying it all. Within 2 weeks, I was off crutches. My swelling was gone and I canceled my total knee replacement. So at that time, I was like, I don't care if this is weird. I got to go learn some more about it. So I studied for 2 years. We have to do 100 hours in different techniques for each week that we spend, each level that we spend in U-Taptic. So I spent 2 years and about 400 hours of learning on top of extra learning. And here I am.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I'm like so interested in your story. I'm just like, wow. I mean, yeah, because we all have physical pain at some point from an old injury. There's always something there. And then I love your idea of the subconscious mind. It's memories telling us how to breathe. It's memories telling us to get upset if we get a certain cue, right? Or a trigger, so to speak. So
exactly.
Working through those memories.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
So I love this. Can you give us some examples of how you've worked with clients? And not names, obviously, but how some of their transitions, because I loved hearing yours. So I love to hear how you work with clients to help them have those types of transitions.
So when people come to me for an emotional thing or even procrastination, like this is supposed to be about activating inner motivation and stopping procrastination, we need to figure out what is that sensation? What is the feeling? Because that's something that the body is relating to us over and over and over, just like any stress, right? It's telling you, oh, my heart is beating and we just maybe ignore it or whatever. But what if we didn't ignore it? What if we started figuring out where did this pattern start? So that's one of my first questions is like, where's the first time you ever felt this? Even if it was way less of a feeling, your brain developed those neural pathways almost completely before you're 7. They're developed by the time you're 2, 80%. So this is before you even really remember. Your brain is just link firing and wiring, or it's linking and storing. If somebody says to me, let's see, like some IBS people might say, I'm allergic to potatoes, for instance. So then, well, what does that potato remind you of? Where's the first time that you had a potato? What else was going on at the time? Because it's not always about the potato. It's about what's the experience around it. That's where the brain fires an emotion to this object, potato. So if they're, then all of a sudden they might say, oh my goodness, my mom and dad were having a terrible fight. So now the brain feels like a potato is a fight. Well, then the body is going to say, don't eat that. And we'll help you not eat it. You're going to have, you know, a rash or an allergy or something like that.
So with procrastination, what are some of the things that people experience?
Right. So procrastination is typically a fear. And most of the time it's a future fear. So we're really not aware of the worry, but we call that a bad imagination. So people like to have bad imaginations because that's what we're used to when we worry. So a lot of times if you just find out like, well, what's the bad thing that can happen? They'll tell you. And then you can say, how do you even know that's possible? And then we go right back to a memory. So memory reconsolidation isn't about, a lot of people tell you rewrite the memory or pretend it's different or act it out in a different way. And those are all conscious activities, but the subconscious is still going to hold that old memory in the same manner. You haven't overpowered it, just like you're not going to overpower breathing, right? Your body's going to breathe for you after you pass out. So we really need to step into it as though you are that child dealing with that fear. Most of the time it's the kids are, you're a child laying on the couch watching TV and mom and dad come in and are like, get out there and haul wood, or you didn't even do the dishes, or the garbage still needs to be taken out, get out there. And so it's just this old drama of getting in trouble for relaxing. So instead of relaxing about something that needs to get done, they feel stressed, and stress never allows you to think and take action and move forward, because it's a contraction energy, right? So if we go into that memory and we use the technique, their brain will give me what it needs. So what happens is we use the technique and they're like, oh, now this time mom walked in, but she didn't say anything. And I'm like, really? Cool. And then we do the technique and we go back. And then I say, now what's happening? And they're like, well, now mom came in and sat down. She never sat down. I never saw my mom sit down in her life, right? because this is all a child's perspective of a parent's life. I mean, it's true, but their perspective is the thing that's going to drive their brain to believe that's all there is. It's going to give them that little corner of focus in their mind that creates a whole life.
Yeah, that's so funny, because as a parent, you try and do so many good things for your kids and teach them, you know, the right way and the way forward. And they always remember that one thing that you really didn't want them to remember.
Exactly.
It was an argument, or if it was just a point you made because it was, you were in the moment. But because it's so funny, my kids are in college now, and sometimes they'll go, "Oh, I remember when you told me this." I'm like, "I said that? That's horrible. Don't remember that. What about all the good things I told you?"
That's right. Parenting is so awesome because it gives us that other perspective of what it's like to be the parent. But you know, the child brain is so developing that they really only remember the worst parts. And that's how we are when we look back at our parents, we'll be like, gosh, they were the most terrible parents. And then what happens when we start updating these memories is actually a flood of beautiful memories come back. I remember thinking, you know, oh, my dad was the worst person in the world. And I had like 5 negative memories. And as soon as I cleared those up, I was like, how could I ever think that about him? I just forgot all the good stuff. So our brain is trained to forget things and also to remember things. And what we can retrain it to is remember all the beautiful things and forget the negative things. They really aren't helping us for it to not happen again. Negative things don't help us to prevent things from happening. It actually focuses us so that we see it happening more and more. And that's a pattern.
I love this. So you start off with kind of what's in your brain, because what's in it is all of the memories, whether they're true or false or just the child's perspective. And then we talk about subconscious storing it. So your subconscious is just storing all this stuff, just like it's keeping us alive, whether we want it to or not. Yeah. So all those memories. I love this. And then when you reconsolidation with your memories, that's what you're working with people when they go back to the memory and they see it. How do you help them actually change it?
So the technique is to do a very opposite and empowering emotion. So if a person is afraid, so we'll just say for procrastination, they're afraid to raise their rates or raise their prices. Okay. So then the fear is something in the future that, you know, people are going to think this bad thing about them. Well, where did they learn that people could think a bad thing about them, whatever that is? Or let's make it more specific, that they'll think they're greedy. Mm-hmm. So then in the memory, where did you learn about greed? Oh, my dad never took us out to eat and he always did this, this, or this. So now we know what greed is like, or my dad talked about somebody, we know about greed, right? So in that memory, their own, we need the opposite and more empowering for them, because this has to be curated to exactly what their experience is. I could say, let's think about a dog, and I could feel all wonderful, but they could be feeling like, I got bit by a dog, I'm scared to death. So I really need to find out what is in their brain that's going to be the opposite. So then that's what I ask, like, well, what's the opposite of greedy? They might say generosity. And I'm like, well, when's the time that you experienced generosity? So that's the opposite emotion that we use. And when we use an opposite emotion, the brain will automatically update. Have you ever been to a restaurant you love? You went one time and then you hated it. And you're like, that's the worst restaurant. Your brain updated it for negative. Well, we can use it the same way, right? We forgot all of the good things.
I love that. So how do you use it to activate like the motivation? Because, you know, there are some things that we want to do, but we just can't bring ourselves to do it for whatever reason. It can be fear. It can be, oh, it's going to be too hard, or people are going to say something, or lots of different reasons. So how do we kind of turn that around?
Okay, awesome. Let's go back to the greed and the generosity. So we toggle back and forth between them, and then they'll give me things. They'll be like, oh, now my dad's talking about this person giving them something, or my dad is all of a sudden like bringing us home presents or something. Their brain will, it'll just automatically create something as long as we have a strong enough positive emotion. Now, my belief is that all children are born innocent and they're born very naturally motivated. Have you ever seen a child want to play? Where did they learn to stop being that way? Parents, siblings, friends, teachers. Right? So it's the memory. The motivation is always there. You'll just feel like a kid again. You'll be like, no, I want to do it. Because whatever stopped you from having that natural motivation is gone. It's not a focal point. The brain isn't re-triggering it, as Kirsten so wisely said earlier, like it's just triggering. So it's already there, just like love and peace and joy. They're all a natural part of a child's development. What stops it? That memory.
Yeah, my mom always used to say, can we bottle that? You know, that energy that kids just have, they don't stop. They just keep going till they finally sit and fall asleep.
Exactly. It's your nature. So what has ever stopped you from having that natural energy? Sit still. Quit moving. You're not allowed to talk. You're in school. Like, there's so many things that little children should never be prevented from doing, because they'll grow up and be these miserable, anxious, sad, stressed out adults. And parents don't realize that we're teaching our children by how we act, not by what we say.
So true. So do you work with your clients one-on-one? Do you have programs? How do you work with people? I guess it's probably one-on-one since it's very personalized, isn't it?
That's kind of the model I've had so far. I've struggled with that a little bit. How can I scale this? And someone was saying that, like, well, that's really hard to scale one-on-one. And I said, well, when you get busy enough, you just raise your rates. Like, I'm not going to stress myself out. I'm just going to be priced at a higher value. And, you know, hopefully people that really value that can do that. And other people can offer like free resources or things that they can access, but not my personal time as much.
How many sessions does someone normally have with you to move past these types of things?
They're going to see results so quickly. So I was working with this one woman who, she's very creative, and she had 18 things on her list to get done. And we did this memory reconsolidation. And I wasn't really sure, because it is an experiment, right? We have got to experiment with your brain on what works for you. And then you're able to take this on and do it for yourself. I don't want to be the coach that's like, I have to have her the rest of my life. I want to teach you so that you are completely empowered. Not that you're going to know everything in your subconscious, and sometimes you'll want that little update, but I just feel that's super, like, I wouldn't give up what I can do for myself for $10 million. If someone was like, you have to go back there and be the complete victim of what's going on in your life and not have any idea how to transform yourself from the inside, I'd say that's not worth it.
Right.
Right. So she had a list of 18 things. We do the memory reconsolidation. I'm like, well, let's experiment, see how it works. She comes out, she's like, oh, I got 17 things of my list done. I'm like, really? That was 1 week. So it just depends. There's so many variables. I like to have 6 months. I think that gives them not only the ability to really start seeing programs, their own programs, but they'll come to me and they'll be like, oh my goodness, I noticed my daughter had this program and I was able to help her through it. And oh, my boss said this, and I realized it wasn't about me. It was his program. And so I didn't get defensive, or I didn't have this, or you know, I was on this date and all of a sudden he said this thing that usually would make me get up and leave and like put up a block and all these boundaries that I got to set to keep him away from me. And this time I was like, hey, we can be friends, but foundationally we're different. It varies, but I think 6 months is a really good way to start not only accessing like all these patterns in your brain, but redirecting them and you being able to help yourself. Yeah.
That's amazing, because I think we've got a client and a friend who, she helps people. For example, my ankle was bothering me. And she's like, it's not your ankle. Cause I think, well, I kind of rolled it one time. And she's like, it's not your ankle. It's this muscle here in your leg. And when we started working on that muscle, holy cow, I was like, oh my gosh, it hurt. But within just a few times of doing that exercise, my ankle was no longer swollen. It was gone. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of her goals, is to really teach her clients how to do these things for themselves, which I think is so empowering. I love that you do that. And the cool thing is you'll never run out of clients, because happy, successful clients will keep telling people about you. And so you'll stay busy. And I think that's amazing.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Well, Tammy, you are obviously making some amazing things happen in the world, and helping people move forward is a gift. So I know there are people listening who are saying, oh my gosh, I need to reach out to her. Where is she? How can I get a hold of her? So what is the best way for them to reach out?
So Tammy A. Magnuson on Facebook. I'm typically on there the most. And obviously I get the notifications for if somebody does reach out to me. I post a lot of content that hopefully helps people as well. And that's probably the best place.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been so fun and it's been so motivational.
Yes, or, good.
Yeah, it just makes you think, oh, I can be an optimist. You know, I don't have to worry about all those things. So I have somebody like Tammy who can help me work through them. So we are grateful that you are here today and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so very much. I'm very grateful to be able to share this with anybody that it's going to help. And I appreciate you both.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.